Good evening, everyone. Today is Wednesday evening, the Wednesday evening before Thanksgiving. We're going to be having a fellowship call tonight. I'm not sure who all is going to be joining us. But anyway, I hope that it records okay. I've been having some problems with my recorder when I'm doing Skype, so we'll see what happens. So I'm going to go to the call and see if I can get it set up. I'm not feeling very well. Today I got up and I couldn't walk. My foot was swelled up about twice its size. I don't know what's going on with that. And it was excruciatingly painful. So I'm not feeling too good. I was up all night last night and dealing with a lot of pain today. So you keep me in your prayers, will you? I don't know why we're going through all of this. We'll see what happens. Shut this video off for one thing.
Can't complain. Oh.
Good evening.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, good evening. So we got, looks like Robert Barrick is with us and Adiola, and is that it so far?
Yep.
John Avizito's on as well, looks like. He's got his mic muted, but John, we're glad to have you with us as well. And good evening, Robert.
Good evening.
Good to see you. I got up this morning. I don't know what's going on, but anyway, I got up this morning and I could not walk. And so my left foot is swollen twice its size. And so I'm not sure what's going on. So y'all keep me in your prayers with that. It's excruciatingly painful. I'm not sure what direction we're going to go tonight. I think I'm open for suggestions. Robert, do you have any suggestions? Adiola, do you have any? I'll just throw it open to you guys since you're on first, and John as well. Robert, do you have any thoughts about kind of the direction the call should go tonight?
Well, one thing I would like to do is open up the, you know, before we start anything, to open up, you know, in prayer.
Good.
Just, yep. That the Lord would be glorified, you know, that He would guide our minds and our hearts.
Yeah, why don't you do that? Why don't you do that now, John, Robert?
Okay. You guys ready?
Yes.
Father God, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you so much for thy word. I thank you so much for salvation. I thank you so much for thy grace and thy mercy. I pray that we would not take those things for granted and that we would not esteem them lightly, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for this technology that the devil means for evil, Lord, and I just thank you that we can use it for good. And I just pray that you would be glorified this evening and that we would worship thee in spirit and in truth. And Lord, I lift Brother Larry up to you, Father. I pray, Lord, you are the great physician. I pray, Lord, that thou would heal him of his infirmities, that thou would restore to him good health. And I pray, Lord, that you would heal all of us, that you would grant all of us repentance over our sins, and that sin would not have dominion over us, but that thou would rule in us and over us. Lord, I pray that you would direct our hearts, you would turn our hearts unto obedience to thee. I pray that whatever thou would have us to speak about, to talk about, to learn, I pray that you would teach us and that you would have thy way, Lord. And Lord, I pray that not our will, Father, but thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus Christ's name, our God and Savior, we pray. Amen.
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 Hey, Tom.
How you doing, Tom? Hello.
Tom, I wasn't expecting to be on tonight. Did you work today?
I did. Oh, I got off early, thankfully.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you. So maybe you got a little bit of a respite. So I'm sure after running and jumping all day, you don't feel like you've had a respite. But anyway, yeah.
Hi, Tom
and Mrs. Tom Adams.
Hello.
Actually, it's Tori.
Tori.
Yeah.
Tori. Tom and Tori.
And John is with us. John is with us tonight. John, welcome aboard. John, feel free to jump in anytime. And I appreciate Robert praying and having the desire to pray before we started. Because, you know, without the Holy Spirit, we're absolutely nothing. We need his we need his guidance in everything we say and do. And I appreciate your willingness and your desire to want to do that, Robert. Means a lot to me. I wanted to let everybody know that Louise just got off the phone with Rosette. They had fellowship for about an hour this evening. And Louise is doing much better physically now, as well as Elijah. She's going to be able to go back to work on Monday. They're going to let her go back to work on Monday. So that's an update on that. I got an email because I've been really concerned about Ashley Kenny in Australia. He's right outside of Sydney, Australia. And he told me that he was going to have to start monitoring and cutting down on our communication because they're tracking his emails. And now parts of Australia is calling the military out. They've done some unbelievable tracking of the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated. And so what they're doing is anyone that has not been vaccinated, they are having the military go to their houses and take them to COVID-19 camps now. And so, you know, he doesn't know what's going to end up happening with him. I want to welcome Louise, who's just joined us. Louise, I heard you and Rosette over there singing the hymns tonight. I was blessed by it, so it was a blessing to me to hear you gals singing. I'm really kind of at a loss as you know. I'll tell you what I'd like to do. We've done this before, and it won't take very long. And then I'll have everybody make some comments about this after we listen to the. What I'd like to do is just remind ourselves of a scripture that I think is very powerful for such a time as this. I'd like to just listen again to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, if we could. And then I'll open it up for anyone that would like to make comments about it. So we'll listen to that, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
Amen.
Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Right. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Amen. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment.
Amen.
By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection.
Amen.
And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
Yeah. Well, there's an awful lot in that chapter, but you know, one of the most important things I think that we need to remind ourselves of is what is the origin of faith?
Amen.
And we see that in Hebrews 12:2 says, I'll read verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us,
amen,
and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus,
amen,
the author and finisher of our faith,
amen,
who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I think this is a very timely for what we're going through right now. I mean, we look at the people in Hebrews there, the 11th chapter, and what God asked them to go through and gave them the faith to go through it. You know, and I know that we probably all have read Fox's Book of Martyrs. And how many people have been just literally murdered and tortured and raped and maimed for Christ. And so my question tonight is, I want to open it up to John, Tom, Adiola, Robert. Give us your thoughts on this passage that we've just read. Who would like to maybe start out? I'll just open it up. I know I'm taking you all off guard. I know you weren't planning on doing exposition in the 11th chapter of Romans, but I just thought it was so timely for what, you know, what we're experiencing today. I think. Go ahead, Robert.
So I used to believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, you know, in my ignorance.
Right.
And I don't, you know, I don't believe it anymore. And I think there's a lot of people that are sitting, you know, that go to church every Sunday that are still believing that. And it has a lot to do because they're not reading their, you know, studying to show themselves approved unto God.
Right.
If we're commanded to. And I think what it's doing for people, it's giving them a false hope that, you know, for whatever reason, because we're in America, they think we're going to get a free pass, even though we're like one of the wickedest nations in the world.
That's right.
You know, but they think that we're going to get a free pass and that we're not going to have to suffer anything before we're just raptured out of here. And I feel like there's, you know, maybe there's going to be a great falling away from the faith if and when we do have to suffer persecution. Like it says in Philippians, it says, to you it has been given not only to believe, but also to suffer for his sake. And I think it was Paul who said, we must, through much tribulation,
right,
enter into the kingdom. You know, and that's not the gospel that's being preached today in America. You know, Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation.
That's right.
It's a promise. It's a guarantee. But be of good cheer, for he has overcome the world. And, I mean, man, like, reading about our brethren that suffered for the faith, and we're over here in America thinking that we're going to get taken out of here before we have to suffer any kind of tribulation or trials, or, you know, it's just like, that's just not what Scripture says. And you know, including myself, I used to believe that there's, you know, I used to believe the pre-tribulation rapture. And, you know, I think persecution is coming to America. And what we're seeing, what we're hearing about in Australia and Austria and just all over the world, eventually it is going to make its way back here. You know, like it says, in Scripture, it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And we read that in the days of Noah, men's hearts, every thought and the intent of the heart was only evil continually. And because our nature is to love darkness rather than light, because our deeds are evil in and of ourselves outside of Christ, the more society and the more a nation falls away from the Lord, the more they're going to hate those. You know, Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. And so, you know, the world can't help but to hate those that speak the truth, that shine the light. You know, if they're not given the grace to repent and believe the gospel, you know, just like they crucified Christ and they hated Christ, because they loved Christ, they loved Jesus as long as he was feeding them for free and you know, doing the miracles, you know, I mean, because that's naturally pleasing to the flesh, right? You're looking at this guy doing these amazing things and you're getting fed for free. You know, who's not going to want to follow someone like that? But it wasn't until he began to speak and began to teach that all of a sudden we start seeing the great divisions that you know, that doctrine, you know, sound doctrine divide. There's always a division when sound doctrine is being preached. And that's when many people become offended. And I think that's what's going to happen here in America, that a lot of people have this idea of who Jesus is, but it's not, you know, it's the other Jesus that Paul talks about. And it's not the Jesus who is the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Well, I certainly concur with what you're saying. And I think the Hal Lindseys and the Left Behind series and the Jesuit influence over the secret rapture has had a profound negative impact. And I think that I'm glad that you brought that up, Robert, because, you know, all of these, what I call cemeteries, where people get their death certificates, they're touting this, you know, God's going to rapture his church out of here and all this. I've often said that people are going, you know, well, we know that the true children of God are going to, embrace, the proper eschatology. And what I tell people is I go by Christ eschatology. If you want to get a good teaching on eschatology, go to the Matthew 24 and the parallel chapters and the other gospels. And so, you know, I agree with you and it's really just an escapism. People think that, you know, we're just going to escape. We're not. When people start having to suffer persecution for their faith, two things happen. One is primarily what is happening right now. I think the true Church of Jesus Christ is underground. Okay? I don't think it's, I just find it hard to believe, what I'm saying is by and large now, with a lot of churches out there, what they're teaching, what they're touting. I mean, you know, you have, you know, the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Jeffers actually having, administering vaccinations in his church. Come on. And then you've got, go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you. I was agreeing with
yours. Yeah. And we're told, like you said, Robert, Scripture says that if we're in Christ, we are going to suffer persecution. That's part of the deal. Okay. I mean, that's part of it. And so anyway, I agree with especially your thoughts about, you know, all of these churches touting the secret rapture, and there's nothing secret about the return of Christ. The Bible says every eye is going to see him.
That's right.
And so there's nothing. Anyway, does anyone else have any comments about
Does anyone stop to wonder the type of individual God chooses?
Well, I mean, if you look at what we just read, he's got people from every kindred, every tongue, every nation. He's got Rahab, who was a harlot.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm asking the type of person he chooses.
Well, I think that, first of all, we have to acknowledge that we are all born and dead. We are all born and conceived in sin, right?
Larry, I am not disagreeing with what you're saying. But have you ever noticed Jesus Christ, God through his son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit always uses the people. People will tend to look down on all of that.
I think there's something to that. I mean,
that's the point that I'm making.
Yeah, okay. Peter says we're a peculiar people.
Yeah, okay. but take a step back and look at it for a second. You got Hosea, who's a fruit picker. Who sold fruit inside the tree, and look at what he was able to accomplish under Jesus Christ. You had Rahab, the harlot, and look how her life turned around under Jesus Christ. That's number two. Look at who Jesus, I'm using the apostles as an example. They were guys who weren't the most well-esteemed individuals in society. Yes, some were physicians and everything, but if you really, really look at it, if one takes a step back, I mean, you always tend to choose individuals, first of all, who tend to be more pure of heart, but yet from places that we don't expect. As an example.
Well, and, you know, Scripture tells us that he takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise.
Sure, you know? Exactly.
And so, that's what I hear you saying. In other words, you know, if we go back to, but we have to go back, I think, and establish the immutability of God in election. In other words, if you go back to the 9th chapter of Romans, it says the children being not yet born, not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand.
Okay. Larry, I'm not talking about election. I'm not arguing election and everything.
Right, I know.
But the thing is, within that.
Right.
Within that, just pay attention to who God chooses.
Right.
And yet the ones who should know better tend to have the hardest journey.
Well, look at the Apostle Paul. I mean, he was brought up under Gamaliel, and he was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. And when he was struck down, I always get kind of a smile on my face when it says, he says, "Lord, Lord," he recognized that he was the Lord. "Lord, what wilt thou have me do?" And he says, "Get up, and it will be told thee what thou must do." So that's irresistible grace, okay?
Yeah.
And so,
this is the point that I'm pulling out here.
Right.
Even within God's election, it was elect. One has to pay attention. I'm not arguing there are examples of individuals who are in high places at the same time. I'm not disputing that.
Right.
It's clear in that throughout Scripture that God uses and they convert it.
Yeah, but Paul totally rejected it and said it was dung. So he looked at all of his past training, and I agree with you, Adeola.
Yeah, Joseph Arimathea, you had several individuals, but this is the part I'm always struck.
Right.
The part I'm always struck by.
Go ahead.
Every time, and this is why every time I sit there and look at all these so-called, educated pastors who went to cemetery school, and yet I turn around and look at God's word and who he chose to do it, they're polar opposites. They're complete polar opposites in everything.
Yeah, and I think, for us who hold to God's sovereignty, we can very much assuredly acclaim that who hath known the mind of God, or who hath been his counselor?
Yeah.
You know, in other words, he works all things after the counsel of his own will. And it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. And so, Tom, would you like to weigh in on this? You've been kind of quiet tonight. Would you like to weigh in on this discussion?
Yeah, what came to my mind, I don't know how it fits or not, but with Adeola's comments with Acts 17:26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation.
Yes.
I think God's elect, I can't argue with Adeola's comments about that they tend to be of the more looked down upon. And yet I can't argue the fact that God has put them in that position.
Right.
And for a purpose, for his purpose.
Well, I
believe what you, with, I think it goes, falls right back to with what you said, Larry, that he uses the foolish to confound
right.
the wise.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's to show the vanity of our flesh.
And you see, in Hebrews chapter 11, every time I read this, two things that come up stick out. One is faith. Number two is proper fear.
Amen.
Proper faith in God himself through his son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And having the faith and having the fear of the Lord of those who made everything. God, his son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. That's real healthy fear there.
Right.
Not out of a draconian way, but in a real sense, it's like, well, you know what? I'd rather feel there because it created everything. Not out of a sense of fear or anything. Not out of a sense of like draconian fear, but a sense of healthy fear because God never controlled her. God never sat there and overrode us. I mean, in a bad way. He never sat there. We always had a, he always, even though he knew, he never forced it on us. He said we knew would come to the decision, but it had to also come from us as well at the same time.
Well, I would probably articulate it a little differently in that I do believe that the Bible teaches for all of God's elect, you know, in John 6:37, all that the Father hath given him will come to him. And all that come to him he will in no wise cast out. But we have to start with the origin of it, and that is though all of those who've been given to him by the Father, right?
Exactly.
And so I do think there's an element of irresistible grace working in the heart of all of God's elect.
And that's the key right there. God saw us, he gave us a bit of grace, but we can't, it was, but eventually we made that choice. Not, and it was never out of fear, but of genuine love for him. You get my point. Not out of fear, abuse, or any of that stuff. It's generally, but it's through our experiences we came to realize that.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit, and part of, some people use the word regeneration. I like the word quickening.
Yeah.
But quickening is something that happens in the heart of God's elect first. The quickening is first. In other words, our belief and our repentance doesn't cause us to have redemption, okay? God is in charge of our redemption. He's in charge of our destiny. He's in charge of everything, including our salvation. His atonement on the cross didn't make it possible that we would be a recipient of his grace. It made it absolutely certain. Okay, and so I want to open this up to John. John, would you like to make any comments about this discussion tonight regarding faith and grace and election? And do you have any thoughts on this?
Not any particular thoughts on it. I could, you know, talk a little bit about the, you know, what people are looking for, tribulations and raptures, you know, before all this Mark of the Beast stuff,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, people, the reason people don't think that this is the Mark of the Beast is that they're still waiting for a rapture and for
the... That's right. Good point.
The world scene.
True.
When all the Protestants, you know, when all the people that got their Bibles translated into their own languages, the common languages of the people 500 years ago, they all recognized that the Antichrist was the papacy, the succession of the popes. So, you know, we already know who the Antichrist is, but these people that think that the Mark of the Beast is something future, they're still waiting for their Antichrist and their rapture and everything else, you know, so...
Right.
You know, I guess we're in the know, the minority in the know.
Well, I think also, John, kind of going back to what Robert said, I think there's quite a bit of denial about the significance of this evil going across the world in the 182 countries and mandating, what is going on. By the way, this isn't about a virus.
Amen.
Okay, this is, you know, and I want to just recognize Rick Batorik, who's just joined us. Rick, I'm very glad you could join us. I love you, brother. You've been a great encouragement to me over the years, and we're talking tonight, Rick, about the realities of the times that we're living in, okay? I've talked to so many people who are professing Christians that say something like this. This vaccination has nothing to do with anything spiritual. Think about that. What is this vaccination derived from? Across the board, aborted baby parts. Okay? Check it out. Now, you know something? You cannot deny. In other words, when you start denying the negative influence of this medical mafia that is being, by the way, the medical mafia are controlled by satanic influences. We talked about this last time. We talked about how the book of Revelation talks about pharmacopoeia and sorcery. And this is all very much a part of that. But, John, what you stated there, you said it in a very different way. But, in other words, people are utilizing this rapture, just like Robert said, the rapture theory, as a way of not having to deal with certain things. They're post-
yeah, the rapture... Yeah, sorry, go ahead then.
Yeah, they're postponing the inevitable, I think.
Yeah, the rapture is the idea that the Christians are going to disappear before, you know, anything bad happens and all that stuff. I mean, it's just a complete deception, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
It's basically, you know, mocking, you know, kind of twisting the second coming.
Right. Yeah, and you know, people ask me, well, what is your position? Are you an amillennialist? Are you a premillennialist? Are you you know, I'm a historicist. You know, in other words, when I say I'm a historicist, it makes some people upset. But I mean, if we go back in history. I'm talking about true history now, his story, not fake history. Okay? Every time the Bible validates history and history validates the Bible. And there are people out there that say, no, you cannot use history. I'll give you one example. We've got absolute proof that the Jesuits were behind not only preterism, and promoting preterism, but promoting this secret rapture theory. And we've got the history of Darby. We've got the history of everything that's gone on. A lot of people are denying it, okay? But the Bible doesn't substantiate a secret rapture.
Right.
You know, and it says that there's going to be, when Christ comes back, he is not interested in setting up an earthly kingdom. He said his kingdom is not of this world. He said if his kingdom was of this world, he would ask his subjects to fight.
Hey, brother, can I interject there?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, I've thought about that. You know, Jesus did say, you know, my kingdom is not of this world. Like you said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight? But in Revelation, it says, now the kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of our God.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Well, I believe that when Christ comes back, you know, there's a lot of people that, in that vein, that earlier vein we were talking about, that say, you know, Christ, at some point, Christ is going to be victorious. No. Christ is ruling and reigning as we speak.
Amen.
He's seated at the, he is the king now. He's not waiting for a future kingdom. And so.
That's also the problem with pre-tribulation, right? They don't even believe that Jesus is reigning right now in his kingdom.
That's right.
They're still waiting for a physical David to sit on a physical throne.
Exactly. And that goes into all the Zionism and.
Amen.
The whole mess around that false premise of the statehood of Israel and, you know, the
role. Hey,
go ahead.
Do you believe that, because obviously there's types and shadows in the Old Testament of Christ, right?
Right.
Do you believe that, you know, I'm not a preterist, but is it possible that there's a type and a shadow in 70 AD of what is ultimately going to happen in the end of everything?
Well, I've never been a 70 AD denier. I want to be that real clear about that. I mean, we know what happened with Titus. We know that he came over, and Christ's own prediction and prophecy was that there would not be one stone standing on another. And by the way, that wailing wall over there has nothing to do with the temple.
That's right.
Okay? And so, no, I agree with you. In other words, I do believe, I have a friend of mine that uses the word, I'm trying to think what it is, but in other words, there are prophecies that in the Old Testament that were given that were fulfilled in the Old Testament, but yet are yet to be fulfilled today in the New Testament. And so, and 70 AD, I think you can use, it seems like it's layered is the only word I could use.
Right.
You know, prophecies are layered. They don't always mean one specific thing.
Right.
And so that's the big problem a lot of people get into, especially interpreting Revelation, is they want to make it all symbolic or all literal, and you can't do that.
Right.
Yes, and sorry to cut you off, Larry.
Go ahead.
No, see, and that's a problem right in itself. One has to, yes, outside of all parables and miracles and everything, which are important, the sanctuary message, I mean, in terms of how, when you turn to Jesus Christ is appearing at the time, in the during his time, but what's missing is a complete lack of history at the same time, personally.
Right.
And I personally have noticed that every time I've sat there and listened, there's a complete lack of history that is completely being missed.
Now another thing that comes up, Adiola, in this question, and I'd like to ask Rick Vitorik. I might get in trouble by even bringing this up, but I've been in trouble most of my life, so. But which is probably, you're going to be in trouble if you're a believer. Especially with the mainstream, okay? But Rick, I would never deny that Jesus Christ today, is not involved in, providential miracles. Now, there's a lot of people say all miracles have ceased. There's no special revelation. I don't buy that. And here's why. If you believe in the immutability of God, his nature never changes. And so my position on people who deny any special revelation, I knew a guy that denied there were angels, okay, present amongst us today. Scripture says we will entertain angels unawares, okay? Right. And so what I'd like to ask Rick is coming from a little different perspective. I would never throw Rick under the bus, and I don't think Rick will throw me under the bus, but... you know, Rick sent me a message this last week and I listened to it, and it was on the subject of deliverance. Okay. Now, there's a lot of warnings that I have for people who are in the charismatic movements. Okay. Because don't get me started on that. However, that being said, I do believe that God still does anything he wants to because he's sovereign. He, you know, he doesn't heal everybody. We know that. Paul asked for him to heal him, and he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. But anyway, Rick, I'd like for you to just kind of give us your thoughts on this subject of special revelation and the idea of or the aspect of God and his working miracles, if you want to.
I'm just saying, Larry.
No, I'm having Rick. I'm trying to get Rick to comment right now.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'll wait.
Yeah, Rick, are you able to? He might be on. He might not have ability to broadcast. Rick, can you broadcast? Your mic is muted, Rick. All right. Well, Rick, feel free to jump in anytime. I know that before when Rick was on, he was having problems getting his. There we go. Go ahead, Rick.
Okay. Yeah, I have to go back to how God and his sovereignty and providence linked us up together, like in 2008 and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's by the Spirit of God, you know, and right. He said he'd lead us and guide us into all truth, and I was looking for doing a study on the life of Jacob, and that's how I ran into teachings on John Calvin on election and reprobation as seen in the life of Jacob and Esau, and then on your name was on the side of the web page of Sermon Audio.
Right.
So I clicked it on and stuff, and that's how we're talking today as far as election and predestination and the life of Jacob as being the elect and the life of Esau as the life of the reprobate.
What's the next step? If they're on some kind of avenue.
Now, excuse me, is my map voice showing up on the
there's a little bit of a little, but nothing clear. So your audio's coming through fine.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we can hear you fine. One quick question, Rick. Would you? It's interesting you brought up about how we found each other. One of the first messages I ever did on Sermon Audio was entitled election and reprobation. Okay, that's one of the first messages I ever did. But my question really, and I don't want to get too far afield, but how do we how do we maintain proper biblical doctrine, okay?
Yeah.
And at the same time, in other words, I'm not very ecumenical. In other words, I'm not interested in just getting along to get along. I want to do what is biblically taught. Okay, that's what God has put in my heart. I don't want to do anything that would in any way jeopardize the teachings of the apostles and of Christ. Okay, so my question is, how do we make certain that we stay on the straight and narrow, Rick?
Well, Jesus said that in the Great Commission in Matthew 28 and also Mark 16, go to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and teaching all things that I've commanded you to do. Teaching all things that I've commanded you to do. So he's the commander. You know, I don't want to get off with this one, but I was at this one men's meeting one time, and this guy with a laptop, that was kind of like his Bible Answer Man control center, right?
Yeah.
With his Bible Answer Man hat on. And when I gave him that, I said, okay, that's a command, okay? Going into all the world. And I said, okay, one of the commands in Mark 16, which call them transliterations, that they said that verses 9 through 20 are not inspired. Okay, and so my question here is, as far as history is concerned, why, if it's put in the scripture, why is that portion of scripture labeled not inspired when it's a command of the Great Commission by the Lord Jesus Christ that after these signs shall follow them that believe, in my name they shall cast out devils, as a command. In my name they shall speak the new tongues. That's a command. In my name they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's a command. Now, because I'm a World War II buff, if a captain, or how about this? When the doctor gave me a doctor's orders, okay, to take a blood pressure, and he said, now, if you get anything above 160 over 100. I want you to tell me. Now, when he's asking me, he's not asking me, he's telling me.
Right.
Because that's patient. Okay? So, as an elect child of God, when my captain commands me to do those things that he's taught me to do in his word, and if I'm not doing them, I'm being disobedient. So that's my stand as far as what the captain of my salvation, because we can't do any better than the best thing that the Lord Jesus Christ ever done for us, and that's to shed his blood and to redeem us from the foundation of the world, as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Yeah, and there are so many people today that that come out of these liberal seminaries. They totally deny the infallibility of Scripture, the inerrancy of Scripture.
Yeah.
And so once they start down that road, I really don't have any use. I'm sorry, but if they start questioning the Word of God, and they start trying to, you know, and that's what I agree with you. Well, listen, we've been on for, I'm just checking my little recorder here. I'm recording this call. It will be placed on sermon audio later. We're going into 60 minutes. I like to keep the calls around. We covered a lot of ground tonight in a short order. and it looks like Adiola had to leave. Is there anyone else before we close the call tonight that would like to bring up some, you know, let's tie some loose ends up before we depart here?
Yeah, remember, Larry, you said that everything, you know, is happening in all these countries in the world?
Right.
Also remember on Greg Genthany's website how he had those, you know, those things about the concordats that every country has to sign with the Vatican?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that might have something to do with it too, right? How,
I think
so. You know, this is happening in every country, right? Because the concordats apparently usurp the sovereignty of each country.
Right, and you know what? I was, by the way, the reason Walt isn't here tonight, Walt Stickle, he is on a trip, and he was unable to be with us tonight. But the question has come up, you know, why is it that the Roman Catholic Church can stay in the behind the scenes? And, you know, there's some people on one side that want to give all the power to the Zionists, which we know they have a tremendous amount of power. And we know that a lot of the Zionists are a synagogue of Satan who say they're Jews and they're not.
Yes.
Okay.
Amen.
And, but it does, there does seem to be a collusion going on right now between Rome and the Zionists. I've noticed this. And we're going to see it end up in a one world religion. And it's going to be satanic. It is satanic. It is satanic. And it's already amongst us. Yeah, Robert, you were going to say something. Go ahead.
I just wanted to, going back to Hebrews 11, you know, it talks about by faith, by faith, by right. faith, by faith. You know, Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. You know, and Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith.
Hallelujah.
But, you know, also, you know, because like, you know, because I like to quote when I'm talking to people. I like to quote that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then so naturally, you know, if without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, then where does faith come from? Yes, Jesus is the author and the finish of our faith. I believe that. But Romans 10, what does Romans 10:17 say? Because Romans 10:17 more directly answers the question of where does faith come from? Because it says, that's right, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And that's why, y'all were talking about sermon audio. Sermon audio has been such an amazing tool with this technology that Satan means for evil, God always means for good. You know, we know how wicked this technology has been used, you know, how much wickedness it's been used to produce. But at the same time, I wouldn't even be on this call right now if it wasn't for sermon audio and by the providence of God directing me, you know, to that website and, you know, understanding and believing that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And so, you know, I found Brother Larry on sermon audio, but I believe it was also with election and trying to learn more about, you know, reading Romans 9. I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? I need to, you know, I want to see if I'm understanding this correctly. And then he started looking up sermons by, you know, by Bible. And that's how I found Brother Larry. And, but just emphasizing how important it is, with this technology that we have to always be trying to listen. To listen to the word being preached, whether it's through Brother Larry, whether it's through, or even the word itself, right? I mean, you know, like we were listening beginning of this call, Brother Larry put on I love that version of the King James Bible, which I believe is the only Bible to be trusted, you know,
too.
And not these modern versions. And that's also, you know, Jesus said, you'll know a tree by its fruit. You know, you compare the fruit that the King James Bible has produced, compare that to the fruit that these modern versions have produced, it's completely different.
It is.
It's not good. You know, nowhere in Scripture do you see anything about the Holy Spirit causing a believer to doubt. That's not a fruit of the Spirit.
That's right.
And that's all I see is these modern versions have produced, caused people to do, is doubt the Word of God. And there's only one in Scripture that's in the business of making other believers doubt the word of God, and it's a certain, yea, hath God said.
That's right.
The very first question that was ever asked in Scripture. And so, you know, but I just wanted to, you know, we're talking about Hebrews 11 and how it emphasizes faith, and that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And that's how I stumbled upon, you know, Brother Larry, and it's because of that that I'm here today. So that was, I just wanted to chime in with that.
Well, I want to thank everybody who joined us on the call tonight. And like I said, I think, last week, we put this call on, BitChute and Brighteon. And it was also on Gab and MeWe, and it was also placed on Cloud Hub. And of course it was on Sermon Audio as well as, brand new tube. So it was on like 19 platforms. I think we got probably about 300 listeners from the conference call last week.
Wow.
And so I think that, you know, the only reason I'm sharing that is because, by the way, the gospel is a twofold result. Okay, it hardens people,
yeah,
and then it also brings people to flee to the cross and
sure,
so on. And so we're not, in other words, God's the one who causes his people to embrace the gospel. This is just a vehicle, but that's really about all I had tonight. And now next Wednesday night, I've got to go up to Northwest Missouri, to do some business up there. I will be on the call, but what I'd like to do is I'd like to ask, someone to volunteer to bring a scripture to bear. And then we can all, I don't want to be the dominator of this call. I want everybody to be participating. Is there somebody that would like to kind of lead the call next week and bring a scripture? We can listen to a scripture and then we can talk about it. Does anybody want to volunteer? I'm going to be on the road 400 miles, so I'm not going to be up to doing all that.
I'll volunteer, brother, if no one else wants to.
Okay. So Robert is gonna come up with a scripture, and Robert, if you could, like, like Monday or Tuesday next week, if you could give me a heads up what scripture we're gonna be doing, I'll send that out to people so they can kind of be prepared to be able to respond after we listen to it. I want to thank you all tonight, and thank you, Robert, for leading us in prayer. And I think we ought to make that a consistent thing that we do before we start this broadcast. So with that, I'm going to say goodnight. Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Just wanted to say goodnight to everybody. And again, Lord willing, hopefully I'll be here next week, but time will tell. But I hope you guys all have a good week. And those that celebrate Thanksgiving, may you all have a good day.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you, guys. Thank you, John.
All right.
Thank you,
guys.
Louise. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Adiola, who's not with us right now. And Rick, I appreciate you sharing with us as well. Have a blessed evening. God bless.
Love you, Larry. Love you, guys.
Good night. Good night, brother.